good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Hello, BBC. I want to welcome you to our Wednesday Bible study. Yes, it is a blessing for me to be back in front of you, but I want to thank Reverend Hornsby. I want to also thank Reverend Zachariah Johnson. These men did an outstanding job in teaching God's Word. Now it is my time. It is good to be back up in this perch. It is a privilege to stand before you. So wherever you're coming from, thank you so much for being a part of our Bible study on today. I'm going to ask if you would open your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Our topic for the day is healing for the whole person. Healing for the whole person. Again, as is my practice, we will begin by reading the scripture verse, and then we will exegete that, and we're going to go from verses 1 all the way down to verse number 12. All right, when you get here in this particular lesson, let us be mindful of what God is doing with us. So let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for being good to us. We pray and ask you to be our guide, Lord, as we minister in regard to this word. We pray, Father, that your word, Lord, will convict us, will convert us, and Lord God will comfort us. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get to our scripture. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When you look here at Mark, one of the things you need to know about the gospel according to St. Mark, Mark as a gospel writing is concise. I mean, Mark gets right to the word, right to the business, so to speak. Mark does not have, like the other Gospels, a long introduction. When you open a Mark, you get right to Jesus being baptized by John. I mean, he takes you right there, right into the mix. It is believed, of course, that John Mark, who is a relative of Barnabas, John Mark, the same John Mark who went with Barnabas and Saul, who we know to be Paul, the one who said to Paul, you know, I'm not too thrilled about getting stoned and all of that. So he said to Paul, you know, when it was time to take that next missionary journey, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go this time with all of that havoc, man, because, you know, Paul was just a soldier. You know, Paul was serious when it came to the word of God. And now John Mark was too. John Mark just figured, you know, doesn't take all of this abuse. And of course, you know, that was a big falling out between him, Paul and Barnabas. But watch God, watch God. Later on in life, Paul says, y'all send me John Mark because he is useful to me. I need him. Mark also served as, we believe, the secretary to the apostle Peter. He was the secretary, the amanuensis to Peter. So oftentimes in antiquity, people say that this is the gospel according to St. Peter. It's just Mark writing it down and dictating, if you will excuse me, or just serving as a scribe for Peter, who actually dictated this particular word, this letter, this book. So here we have Jesus. He is in Capernaum. Yes, we know now that our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we know that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he lived in Nazareth. But later on, Jesus would have his headquarters in Capernaum. Also in Capernaum, you'll find Simon Peter, you'll find Andrew, all in Capernaum. So this was believed to have been his headquarters. But Capernaum is, if you would, the initial scene or the initial place of ministry for Jesus in the region of Galilee. And we begin now where the Bible says, the Word of God teaches us and says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. It was noise that he was in the house. Now, just prior to this, also in chapter 1, Jesus had just healed a man with leprosy. Now, he said to that man with leprosy, don't go tell anybody. But y'all know how it is, how we say ourselves, I said I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. I mean, you think about God blessing your life. You think about how God opens doors for you, and you don't want to you don't want to come across as holier than thou, but you just can't help it. You just can't help but say to God be the glory. You just can't help but help people to understand, listen, I know that I am not here by myself. The only way that I was able to get here was by the grace of God, the mercy of God, God's goodness, God's guidance, God's love for me, God's covering over me. So here you have this man with leprosy. He goes out and he tells exactly what Jesus did in his life, a man did for him. And that's in Mark chapter 1, around verse number 40. You go check that out. So you know how it is. When the good news gets out, people are going to come to you. I say this to individuals who are hoping to have a successful ministry. And by that, I mean you want to draw people. You want people to come to whatever you're doing. Have you noticed this in regard to marketing and anything else? That people are drawn to winners. People are drawn to success. People are drawn to good stories. People are drawn to things that just work. All right. So if you're trying to market your ministry, if you're trying to market your business, you want to present to people, you know, winning statements. You want them to know that, listen, something awesome has happened and you need to come and see it. That's exactly what happened in this particular case. The Bible teaches us that in those days after Jesus started healing folk, other people from around the town say, hey, Jesus is here. And they all began to gather. They all began to gather. Verse number one, he entered and it was noised about. In other words, the word got out. The gossip got out. The good news got out that Jesus was in the house. Now, whose house? It is believed that Jesus was in the house of Simon Peter. He had just healed Peter's mother-in-law. It is believed that Jesus was there in the house of either Simon Peter or Andrew, or the house of Simon Peter and Andrew. Peter was married, by the way. And again, when they say in the house, it was at one of the houses of his new disciples. Verse number two says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Amen. He preached the word unto them. He preached the word unto them. Watch this. People were gathering. People heard about it. They packed the house. He did not offer them gimmicks. He did not give them door prizes. It was not a raffle. It was not some party that was taking place. The Bible says that Jesus was preaching the word. Jesus was laying that word out and the house was filled. Amen. I believe that we ought to have no gimmick church. Amen. I don't have to come out dressed up in a soldier suit. I don't have to come out dressed like a basketball player or a rapper. Amen. With all due respect, I don't have to come out in costume. I believe that the word of God sustains itself. I believe that the word of God supports itself. I believe that if you're preaching the word of God and if you're preaching that word with passion, if you believe what you're teaching and preaching, then people are drawn to that because you know the Spirit by the Spirit. Amen. The house was full. People were there. There were no gimmicks. Write that down in verse number two. Listen, I don't have any problems with door prizes. You know, we do it. We even do it here. You know, when you have a gathering and the people do a good job with all of that. You know, I guess I'm just a old dry, you know, old school, you know, when you come into the house, come on. I believe that there ought to be some good preaching. I believe there ought to be good praying and some good singing. And when you put all of that together, amen. And when the Holy Spirit is in all of it, Lord have mercy, it will tear up a house. Verse number three, And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Amen. And they came unto him. They, these people, these guys, you know, verse number two, you couldn't get into the house. So the scripture teaches us that, all these guys knew, these fellows knew, these men knew, is that there was a healer in the house. What's the point in verse number three? Here's what I believe. Real friends bring their friends to Jesus. Amen. Real friends will not permit their friends to go to hell. You're going to do everything that you can to try to save your family. You're going to do everything that you can to try to save your friends. You're going to do everything that you can to try to save your loved ones. Real friends bring their friends to Jesus. When you see that somebody is in need of the Savior, in this particular case, it was not only a physical healing. We're going to learn that in a little bit. But early on, it appears, if you stop at verse number three, their friend had a physical problem. Their friend had a physical issue. In other words, when a person is sick, when a person is going through, I mean, we know this in the period of COVID, don't we, y'all? That you are going to do everything that you can in order to keep your folks right. I'm gonna find my phone and one of my brothers was dealing with some COVID. I can't find my phone, but check this out. Here's the deal. So as he's dealing with COVID, my little sister, she says, Michael, go tell him that he needs to go to GNC and he needs to get this. He needs to get vitamin B3. He needs to get vitamin C. He needs to get alkaline, water, get alkaline water, get some orange juice. Man, my little sister had a list of things that my younger brother needed in order, to fight this virus, in order to fight this pandemic, in order to fight against these foreign substances coming up against him. I mean, she was serious. It was a whole host of things. I mean, even now, I mean, I'm drinking elderberry. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, real friends try to prevent friends from going down, to prevent friends from not getting the help that they need. Our ministry, our call is to lead people to Christ. Amen. You know what I like? You know what I like? They brought him there. You know, they didn't send him. Back in the day, and I'm going to move on. But back in the day, as little kids, see, my parents and grandparents, showing up my grandparents, my paternal grandparents, my grandfather and grandmother, again, we're from Houston, they lived in Sunnyside. They would drive way to the north side on a Sunday morning. Now, keep in mind, my grandfather was one of the lead deacons at the church, so he had to be at church in time enough to start devotion. He would drive way across the ship channel to the north side of Houston, pick up me and my sister Michelle, bring us back to Third Ward where we had church. Then we would eat later on after church, get back for 3 o'clock then, and we'd have, no joke, BTU, and then after BTU, probably night service, and then they take us right back across the ship channel, North Houston, and drop us off, and then they'd get back home probably 11 o'clock. But don't miss this. They knew that their grandchildren needed Jesus. They brought their grandchildren to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Come on. And you know what? You can write me back. Tell me if I'm lying or not. How many of us have allowed their children to miss church? Well, Pastor, we're in a pandemic, man. We can't, you know, the doors are closed. We can't. No. Reverend Francis and Reverend Tucker, they're preaching on Instagram. They're preaching on Zoom and teaching and all of that. My question to you is, how much of that are they missing? Let me tell you something. I already know that there's going to be a learning gap for our kids who are being taught virtually. Not all of them, but a lot of them, because parents, you're trying to go to work and you're trying to make sure that your kid gets the 3 R's, and you can't do that while you're at work. So you let the kids stay at the house. I'm glad my mama didn't trust me. Amen. She ain't trust me to get my lesson. My mama peeped in on me all the time. And then, amen, if I was trying to nod off after track practice, which I often did, then she'd come in and say, well, you ain't running track until you get your lesson. What's the point, Evans? The point is you ought to bring your friends to Jesus. Verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let him down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. He's got 4 friends, each one of them holding a side of this cot, if you would, and they lowered him down. Watch this. These brothers went through extraordinary measures in order to save their friends' life, in order to get their friend healed. They went through extraordinary measures. Now, what you need to know is that back in the day there in Jerusalem, in the Far East, what they would have would really be flat roofs, and they would have boards, if you would, that would lay their cross beams, wooden cross beams, laid with reeds and R-E-E-D-S, branches and baked mud or clay. Every year they would have to go out and scrape that up anyway and lay it back again as they got ready, prepared for the rainy season. In this particular case, these men prematurely took up all of that stuff, moved back the mud, took the reeds off of the roof, moved back the crossbeams, extraordinary means, and put that brother back down in the place where Jesus was. Don't come telling me about you tired of fooling with folk. Amen. The Bible calls us to be forbearers, to forbear. Forbear means to put up with. You know what? God put up with our mess. Amen. So we ought to put up with other folk. Lord have mercy. I am preaching to myself. You know, don't folk get on your nerves. Don't they get on your nerves? They do get on your nerves. But God calls us to take extraordinary measures in order to save, extraordinary measures to make sure that people get to see Jesus. Amen. And they ought to see him in you. Amen. And in me. In verse number 5, the word of God says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Watch this. When Jesus saw what? He saw their faith. He saw their faith. Church members, he saw their faith. Prayer warriors, he saw their faith. Mama, daddy, family, he saw their faith. Watch this. Jesus saw the faith that was in them. Look, we don't even know if the man believed that Jesus could heal him. But the people carrying him had enough faith, and they believed that Jesus could heal him. Listen, we deal with people all the time who really don't know Jesus. But because we keep on praying, because we keep on ministering to them, because we keep on trying to teach them, because we keep reading the word to them, because we give them the time and give them our mind and give them our sweat and our tears, it is based upon their faith that Jesus, in turn, when the man comes in contact with him, don't miss what I just said, because of their faith and the man being in contact with Jesus himself. Watch this. He saw Jesus. He had to lay eyes on Jesus. So their faith, and then the man lays his eyes on Jesus. Jesus then, before the man even opens his mouth, tells the man that, man, because your sins are forgiven. Lord have mercy. Your sins be forgiven thee. Wait a minute. Now, the friends thought that the man was just had palsy, just had some paralysis, maybe had a stroke, maybe had Bell's palsy. Maybe they don't know. Maybe he was born that way. He was too lame to walk. But the Bible says that Jesus recognized the sin in the man before his physical malady. Now, theologically speaking, it is important that you know that back in the Old Testament times, in 2 Chronicles 7 and Psalm 41 and Isaiah 19, that after Exodus 15, that oft times, y'all, it was sin was equated, or a person's dis-ease or disease was equated with a sin that either they had committed or their parents had committed. Jesus saw the man's sin first. Aren't you glad? that the Lord looks beyond the skin. As sick as we have become, even in the United States of America, we are, I was telling somebody today, it is almost as if we have been visited by a demonic spirit that is causing this division in our country, that is causing us to hate one another. I'm talking about fellow countrymen. And let me tell you something. Don't be trying to put me in some square hole or some round hole. No, the word of God teaches that we ought to love ye one another. I know that this in 2021 is unfathomable. How in the world did we allow the baggage from 2020 to be brought into 2021? It's because we need to have a repentant heart, a repenting spirit. If you don't have repentance in mind, the Lord is not going to deal with that other stuff until we bear all to Him. He deals with the sin first. Jesus dealt with the sin first. America, we must deal with the sin first. A Democrat, deal with the sin first. Republican, deal with the sin first. A big man, deal with the sin first. Little man, deal with the sin first. Big woman, deal with the sin first. Little woman, deal with the sin first. Preacher, a mayor, a president, a governor, a head of a household, supervisor, we are called as children of God to deal with the sin first. Bible says that Jesus dealt with the sin first, thy sins. He didn't say one sin. Did he? No. He says all your sins. Now watch this. Watch this. This is awesome. Because his friend's faith benefited him spiritually. Don't miss that. His friend's faith benefited him, the one with the issue, benefited him spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, my faith and the way that I carry myself and the way that I'm portrayed in public and in private will benefit the onlooker. Amen. Don't miss what I just said. It will benefit the onlooker. Now more than ever, I'm going to have more onlookers, at least until May of 2022. That's when my term is up. I'm going to have a lot of onlookers. Let me tell you something. Anytime God places you on a given level and he elevates you, you're going to have more eyes on you, and you got to be more sensitive to that. And that's a scary place to be. But praise be to God. I dare y'all to pray, because if y'all pray. Amen. If you pray for your pastor, if you pray for your mayor, if you pray for your son, if you pray for your daughter, if you pray for your husband, if you pray for your wife, your prayers, your faithful, your effectual, fervent prayers will benefit that other person, the one you are praying for and trying to help. It will benefit them spiritually. You mean to tell me that you've been saved all of your life? Huh? Come on now. You mean that you made it all by yourself? You mean that if there was nobody God placed in your life to give you a break? You mean that there's nobody God placed in your life to give you a hand up? You mean that there was no, are you going to dare tell that lie? You're going to dare tell me that somebody didn't pray for you? Man, there's people prayed for us who's dead and gone. We don't even know the prayer they prayed, but we're living off of their prayers. Look at verse number 5. That man benefited off of their prayers. Oh yes, he did. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, I don't care how much good you do, you're going to have haters sitting around somewhere. Amen. Look at verses 6 and 7. I don't care how much good you do, you're going to have haters sitting around somewhere. Listen, do you not know there are going to be people who hate you just for the I almost said just for the world of it? People are going to hate you just for the devil of it. People are going to hate you, bless your heart, for nothing. They don't know you. They haven't had dinner with you. You hadn't stole any money from them. They just don't like you. I mean, they just don't like you. You know, be careful about that mess that you read on social media. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, social media, you know, it has its good parts because we've been blessed by being able to get the word out. But then I've learned that if you're not careful, you can be consumed by it. We have children in our school district and in the school districts around the country who have contemplated suicide because of nasty things that people said about them. People who don't even know them. Amen. Let me tell you something. I ain't living my life based upon likes and dislikes, especially from people who I don't even know. You think about that. The scribes who were educated in God's written law and in oral interpretation of the written law were sitting, rather than applauding and praising God, they were sitting there saying, who does he think he is? That was a song that they used to sing when I was a little boy, Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are? Amen. The Bible says, watch Jesus. Jesus knew that they were reasoning in their hearts, in their minds. They were thinking. Jesus, have you ever looked at some people and you could tell that they thinking something crazy? I mean, have you ever done that? I mean, you just kind of look at them. I mean, you don't even know them. You know, try preaching from a pulpit, you know, and do it after you made some people mad. They'd be looking at you real crazy. I mean, just real crazy. Poor Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Read all of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah say, man, you know, I'm scared of these people. You know, they faces, they look, you know, their lips unclean. They look mean. They want to kill me. You know, man, they don't even know you, but they just look so crazy. They were reasoning in their hearts. Who does he think he is? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, Leviticus 5 teaches what these men were thinking. Exodus, Psalms 130, Isaiah 43. I mean, God is the one doing all of the healing. Amen. So, from a literal sense, they were correct in their thinking. However, they had turned off their spiritual indicators. They couldn't see Jesus because they were so caught up into what he wasn't supposed to be able to do. Pastor Bell preached here last Sunday. Pastor Michael Bell at the Greatest St. Stephen's First Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas. That brother preached. So I would ask you to go and check out the commissioning service on YouTube. That brother preached from, or brought a word from the 78th number of the Psalms, round about the 70th verse. That brother, my God, he says, the word of God says that God chose David, who was tending to his father's sheep. David wasn't even presented to Samuel by his daddy, Jesse. And God picked him. Here you have in verses 6 through 7, one of those scenarios. Who does he think that he is? Anybody ever did that with you? Huh? Amen. God blessed you. You happy about it, but they mad about it. Let me tell y'all something. You cannot spend your time trying to figure out why they have the issue. Leave that stuff with God. Don't miss me. Amen. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus is blaspheming. He's blasphemy. This sin is punishable by stoning. And you read John, they did try to stone the man. John chapter 10. Blasphemy. You know something about God? Getting ready to mess with somebody's theology. God does not, follow our rules. Ooh, that messes with your theology. God does not follow our rules. God is a tradition breaker and a rule breaker. What in the world are you saying? Watch God. See, Jesus wasn't trained formally. He didn't go to any rabbinic schools. He didn't sit at the feet of the great teachers, Gamaliel. I'm telling you, humanly, he did. Jesus walked on water. That's against nature. Jesus was calling people back from the dead. That wasn't logical. That didn't happen. See, so you can't try to box God in like you try to box in humanity. He's a rule breaker. When it's your rules, amen. We're called to be obedient to him, not God being made to be obedient to us. Why is this man trying to forgive this guy's sins? Well, let's read some more and we're going to go home. Immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit, verse 8, that they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? See, Jesus says to these men, which is easier to do? Hello, somebody. You know, is it easier for me to just tell him to walk? Or is it easier to just say your sins be forgiven thee? Now, they had an issue. Again, this caused, if you would, a debate between them. This was counterintuitive. Jesus, rather than answering them, now Jesus is questioning them. He's asking, is it easier to declare forgiveness than to tell a paralyzed man to get up and walk? And watch this. When you talk about the man walking, you know, that can be objective. When you're talking about his sins being forgiven, rather, that can be objective. When you're talking about the man walking, you know, that in itself is just physical proof. I mean, it's just physical proof of who this man is. I mean, if the man did get up and walk, and he did get up and walk, if y'all see this, if y'all are checking this out, then you should know exactly who I am, because everything that I am saying, forgive the man of his sins, and then he's going to tell him later on, get up and walk. He says, for humans, it is impossible. But if I am who I am, then you need to know just by recognizing me by my deeds that is something different about me. People ought to know that it's something different about you, child of God. They ought to know that. Verse 10 and 11, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say, nobody's name, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Oh, I like this, because what you'll see here is that not only does Jesus have power, but God gave Jesus authority. He had power on earth to forgive sins. Watch this. Power can be seen as the ability to do something. Jesus had the ability to do that. Amen. Jesus had power. But not only did he have the ability, Jesus also had the authority. Jesus had the right. Jesus had the ability to heal the man, and he had the right to heal the man. Why? Because ultimately, all of us belong to the Lord. That's the news. That's what you need to understand. I hear what the scribes say, but guess what? I don't belong to the scribe. I hear what the haters say. I don't belong to the haters. Hear what the naysayers say, but I don't belong to the naysayers. Who do you belong to? I am a child of God. And since I am a child of God, I'm trusting that God will take care of me. Man, pick up that bed and get to your house. Your friends, faith was strong. Their faith blessed you spiritually. And watch what I'm getting ready to do to you physically. I'm forgiving you spiritually. Your sin, that's spiritual. Now I'm going to heal your body, that's physical. So not only will you be able to go home sin free, but I'm also going to send you home without a malady. Ain't the Lord all right? Pardon my grammar, but he is a mighty good God. Jesus has the power. And then finally, verse number 12 says, and immediately he rose, took up the bed, went forth before them, look all in their face, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Ain't the Lord all right? Amen. We never saw it on this fashion. What did the man do, y'all? That man, he obeyed God. How do you know? He took up his bed. What did he do? He got out of there. Amen. Listen, when God heals you, when God gives you that second chance, and as we pass second chances, when God gives you that other chance or gives you another chance, he is calling upon you to go live your life in accordance to his directions. That, ladies and gentlemen, that in itself, that is healing for the whole person, spiritually and physically. May God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. That's our lesson. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for wrapping your arms of protection around us. Thank you, Lord God, for pouring your word into us. Now we pray, Father in heaven, that sure enough, even with the preacher, the pastor, that we will live, that we will heed these words. And God, we will pass it on to friends and enemies. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. See you next Wednesday. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.